Blessed Heavenly Father, how we appreciate you and thank you today. If you have your Bible just for a few moments, would you turn with me to St. Luke's Gospel, chapter 15, verse 11 through 24. Of all the illustrative things Jesus did and said to tell us what the Father's heart is really like, this is one of those illustrations that brings it into sharp contrast where we can see it for ourselves. Many people preach on this series of words of Christ about the Father and someone who knew him and fell away from him and only because of trouble came back to him. On some, having compassion makes the difference. Some people hear the message of God's love and grace and it melts their heart and they come running to Jesus. But others, it takes something severe to get a hold of them. Things happen in their life that cause them to make them to realize that they can't do without God in their life. They just can't do without Jesus. And others are as firebrands. The fire is already licking at them. It's already threatening to consume them. But God, through his grace, when they cry unto, even if it takes trouble, Israel never came back because they woke up one morning and said, you know, we've really done our God wrong. We need, no, they were down in Babylon in captivity when they finally, you know, the light finally came on. Amen. But the good thing about God, the great thing about God's love is whatever it takes to bring you back, he's glad to have you home. He accepts you with open arms. You don't have to do penance. You don't have to do some kind of self-flagellation to try to make up for your sin. Your sins were judged in his Son so he could forgive them when you come back. Amen. And I'm praying for backsliders to come back to Christ. And it's not just people that are out of church. It's people that are in church, but it's no longer that relevant in their life any longer. Can you say amen? So, you know, if we could just get all of the alumni back in church. The alumni, the people that were part of God's kingdom and serving him and serving God together was part of their life, amen, that it is no longer. And I'm believing that God in his grace is going to do a mighty work to bring people back close to himself. Hallelujah. And so I'm excited about what the Lord's going to do. I know my limitations, but God is unlimited. Hallelujah. People can remove their self from my presence, but they can't remove themselves from my prayers. I don't think you heard me today. Amen. People can run from my presence, but they can't run from my prayers. I can pray for them anyway. Praise God. Hallelujah. And I serve a prayer answering God. Praise the Lord. You know, I was walking 3 miles in my walk and talk. And I call each one of you by name and your extended families. I don't know all their names, but I bring your families into the mix. Your sons, your daughters, your in-laws and your outlaws. Amen. And my family. I pray for you and your family first. And then I pray for my children and grandchildren and great-grandchildren. Yes, I'm a great-grandfather. Praise the Lord. One is 5 and one is 2. And anyway, I don't know how many of them there are out there. We got 4. Amen. Hard to keep up with because they're scattered about. But anyway, God is good. I pray for all of those folks. And within 3 miles, I could actually do that. Within a 3-mile walk, I could pray for everybody. I was, you know, but the needs have become great and other things are being added. And sometimes when I start praying for someone, the Lord will unction me to pray further for someone. And when he unctions that, I'm not going to cut that prayer off because I got a lot of other people. I'm going to keep walking and talking. Well, looks like I'm going to have to go on a 4-mile walk. Amen. Praise God. I might even get into some of my old pants as the needs keep getting greater and greater. But I believe that God is going to move in your lives. People in this little congregation, I want to pray for you personally. You know, you see a big stack of prayer requests. They can't possibly pray for everyone personally because there's 1,000 prayer requests and they lay hands on them. And that's perfectly okay and understandable. But we are in a small, intimate setting. And isn't it wonderful to know that someone is praying for you personally? I remember when I first got saved and went to our church as a young Christian, I was struggling with some things and that I wanted to overcome in my life. Amen. As I was walking in the newness of life, there were things I wanted to remove, obstacles I wanted out of the way, weaknesses I wanted God to shore me up in my life, because I was serious about my walk with Christ. And I was going through a particular, personal, peculiar trial to me. And I went into our church service, and it wasn't that huge, you know, and in a Pentecostal church, particularly in those days, and a young man came to me, and he's maybe 18, 19 years old, Sister Royster's son. He came to me, and he said, Brother Robert, he said, last night I couldn't sleep. I woke up with you on my heart. And see, I'd never heard anything like that before. I didn't know God would talk to people about me and my problems and my need. I never knew God was that on top of everything like that, and particularly me. You know, my name isn't Oral. My name is Bob. Can you say, man, my name isn't Billy. My name is Bob. And who am I that a king would care about enough to get somebody out of bed and put me on their heart? Amen. And nobody but God knew the trial I was going through, but he raised up somebody to intercede for me. And that's one of the things supposed to happen when we come together. Amen. That we interact with one another. We confess our faults to one another, and we pray for one another. That what happens, the whole body begins to be healed and set free by that and nourished by that. Praise God. Amen. But to think that, and he said, God put me on your heart, and I got out of bed. Amen. And I went in the living room. I tiptoed into the living room, and I got down at the couch and began to pray for you on my knees. And I heard something behind me, and I looked around, and it was my mama. And I said, Mama, what are you doing up? She said, God put Bob on my heart. Bobby on my heart. And he said, well, he put him on my heart too. So there was mother and son in the living room in the wee hours praying for me as I was going through my particular trial and test. And boy, I felt like, hallelujah. Amen. These people were saved long before I got saved. And here's a young man and his mama, and God got them. That means God knows about it. That means God cares about it. That means God is already raising up intercessors along with Christ to pray for me. Woo! Hallelujah. That's how you make it. That's how we make it. Can you say? That's why I'm telling you that I'm praying for you. I want you to know that God put it on my heart not to just pray for you collectively and say, Lord, bless the congregation, but Lord, bless Dale. Bless Mike. Bless Pamela. Hallelujah. I prayed for everybody, and I prayed for Pamela, and I almost forgot to pray for me. I'm just so busy praying for other people, but that's okay, because I'm one. We're one when I pray for Pamela. No wonder there we are. We're one. Lord, bless her in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Praise God every single day. Glory to the Lord. Let's read this story. This is the day God ran. This is the day God ran. God's willingness to save is so powerful and so wonderful. We look at people that we say, you know, they need a good whipping. Have you ever seen a child in a grocery store that just needed a good whipping? Some guy went off his nut in a Walmart, and he went over and smacked a child, but it wasn't his child, and you can't do that. They arrested him. Can you say amen? And it's a good thing they took him into protective custody, because some mamas won't stand for that. This little lady right here that looks so little, and you know, no. When I said that, I saw that hair just, look at there, it's turning red. Amen. Listen to me. Amen. Mamas don't put up with that. And daddies don't either. Amen. Hallelujah. I keep telling you the story of the mama. I really appreciated her. She didn't do anything, you know, physical much. She did a little physical stuff. But, amen, she had this kid. She had three of them, really. One of them, boy, he didn't get what he wanted. He looked to be about 5 years old. I mean, he was yanking. She had a dress on. He was yanking and yanking and yanking. I want that. I want that. I want want that. And I was just, you know, back in the Walmart line, you know how they are. You're waiting. And I'm watching this thing go on. And I wonder, how long is she going to put up with that? And he's yanking on her dress. And she's trying to write a check out of a checkbook. And she can't write because every time she'd go to write, he's yanking. You know what she did? She reached around and just grabbed him, just like nothing. She stuck his head between her legs from the back, and then she locked her legs around his head. He's up in there somewhere going like that, trying to breathe. She's no hurry either. She calmly writes her check. Amen. And I thought, I'm liking this more and more. It's worth waiting in line just to see it. Amen. In ancient Israel, they would do things that God couldn't in His holiness look over. He would send prophets and plead with them. They would reject the words of the prophets. It broke Jeremiah's heart so bad that he shed his tears for Israel. And he was exaggerating, but he said his tears made his bed to swim at night. He wept over Israel. He had to preach to people who didn't want to hear it. And his mission wasn't to necessarily change them because God knew their heart. But you can never say that God sent judgment without rising up early, as the scriptures declare, and sending. He said, I rose up early and sent my prophets unto you. Jesus stood over Jerusalem and said, Jerusalem, Jerusalem, you that stone the prophets and kill them that I send unto you. How many times would I have taken you under my wing as a mother hen does her chicks, but you would not. You wouldn't let me save you. You wouldn't let me keep you. And enemies would ultimately prevail over them out from under God's covering wings of love and grace and mercy and power and strength. And when the enemies prevailed, particularly with Babylon and their carry down into Babylon, a new generation said, let's go back to God. Let's go back to the God of our fathers. Let's rebuild the cities. And God immediately forgives their sin. God immediately begins the work of restoration. I believe in restoration. Maybe you've given up on your crazy kids. Don't. I got them too. And I didn't. And God is working in their life. Make no mistake about it. There's work to be done. But my son was an alcoholic for how many years? 30? 30? Well, he's going to be 50. He began at about 17. He was an alcoholic. I'm not talking about a social drinker or someone that drank for parties. I'm talking about a daily alcoholic. I took him in at 21 years of age. I took him into a doctor's office because of stomach problems, and she did tests on him, and liver test was part of that. And she said, if you were in your mid-50s, this is in his 19 or 20 years, so said if you were in your mid-40s and you had drank since you were 20 years old, then these tests would be like this. In other words, alcohol is hurting your body right now already. Amen. Well, it got so bad that not too awful long ago, just months ago, really, that he couldn't hold anything on his stomach. And there was blood involved, passing blood, spitting blood. And he went to a doctor, and the doctor ran the liver test, and the liver is damaged. And we talked about that. When the liver is at that state of damage, my son came back to Christ as a firebrand plucked out of the fire. Amen. Listen to me. There's a difference. There are people that when they hear the message of the cross, their heart melts. On some, just the compassion that God has shown through Christ makes the difference. But there are others are as firebrands. My son is one of those others who is a firebrand plucked out of the fire, ready to be consumed. Can you say amen? But God, in his mercy, do they deserve that after treating God that way? Absolutely not. But grace is not for people who deserve something. Mercy is not for people who merit it. Amen. The law came by Moses, but grace and peace comes by Jesus Christ. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. 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 Maybe you're not praying like you need to intercede because you want to see something happen. They need to be punished. Honey, I'm going to tell you something today. Get away from that. Amen. God came with a mission to seek and to save. He didn't come here to punish. He came here to bring salvation to people who don't deserve anything but judgment. Can you say amen? He was doing it in his dying breath and agony on the cross. And he's doing it today. Can you say amen? I believe God is going to save families. I believe God is going to bring them in, even if they're firebrands plucked out of the fire. Hallelujah. I want you to get your vision back for revival and your vision back for restoration, because we serve a God that is up to the task. You can't get through to people. I can't get through to people. But there's one who is called the Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. The Holy Ghost. I call him reverently and lovingly the Hound of Heaven. Can you say amen? He knows how to work in the human heart like no one can. Praise God. And when we pray, we release the Hound of Heaven. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. And I believe that he is going to visit people. Amen. Did you know in the Arab nations, in the Muslim world, we discussed this at our preachers' meeting on Tuesday morning, and I've been watching it on video. Now it's being verified over and over again. In that world, the doctrine of Islam is so entrenched, and people are seeing appearances of Jesus, and they don't know who he is, and he tells them who he is, and they're illuminated. God is visiting the Muslim world, amen, himself, not because of Billy Graham or Bobby Venable, but because Jesus came to seek and to save that which was lost. Hallelujah. Amen. Praise God. And I believe that the Lord is going to stretch forth his hands just like in Acts chapter 4. Praise the Lord. That was their prayer. Behold, the threat, amen, to the gospel of Jesus Christ, not just the threat to us who preach it, but if we go under, we can't take the gospel to the world. Behold, they're threatening, and stretch forth thine hand to heal, and that signs and wonders occur in the name of Jesus Christ. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. God is moving by his Spirit for a particular purpose, and that is to seek and to save that which was lost. That's why he said to the man that was sick on that pallet and couldn't walk, he said, that you might know that I have power on earth to heal the sick. No, it goes beyond that. It reaches into eternity. Can you say, man, I have power on earth to forgive sin. He said to the sick, rise up and walk. Hallelujah, your faith has made you whole. What is that confirming? It's confirming that I am the Son of God. I am the true Messiah. I and my Father are one. I came here to redeem lost mankind, and I've got the power to forgive sin. Hallelujah. He said to the sick, rise up, that people not know that he was the one. That's what John the Baptist doubted. He said, I called him. I said, this is he. This is the Messiah, the long-awaited one, the Holy One. And then he said, if I got that wrong, I've made the biggest, colossal, cosmic mistake that could ever be made. Go and ask him one more time, are you he, or should we look for another? He said, go and tell him the blind see. Go and tell him the lame walk. Go and tell him the deaf hear, and he'll know it's me. Honey, we're so good at doing church. Amen. I want to challenge myself and every other minister I come in contact with. What place does the Holy Spirit, what place does he have in our church and in our ministries and in our singing and in our evangelism. We're so highly trained and well organized and programmed. Can you say amen? But where is the Holy Spirit? Where is children? I remember getting through preaching at the Holy Church of God. Service would be over as far as I was concerned. And kids, 10, 11, 12 years old, would come down to the altars without their mamas dragging them down there. Can you say amen? How do you get kids to attention just like me when I was 12? God knows how to get people's attention. When I was 12 years old, it's not that I disrespected the Lord or church, but I discovered girls. I mean, I knew they were around all the time, but I discovered girls. And there was a girl in the church, and she liked me. And she gave her girlfriend a note to that effect. And she gave it to me. They thought, Steve, that I had went to military school or was in military school. Because when I got that note, I was 12. I wanted to be taller. And I know some girl looking at me, I suck it in, brother. Even at 12, I sucked it in. I stood up and they asked my dad, because every time I come to church after that note, I I'm the man. I'm the man. Yeah, that's the one. I'm he. I'm here. Just that note. And you know what the note said? So-and-so likes you. What's not to like? I didn't have to ask a mirror on the wall. I already knew. Can you say amen? And two things, you know. This girl liked me. Boy, I'm going to wash behind my ears before I go to church this time. Amen. And I'm going to watch that clock because after church is when we go get a milkshake. After church, it's a milkshake. I mean, you got a girl that likes you and you got a milkshake coming. Church ain't so bad. Can you say? It didn't seem long at all. But I did watch the clock and I said, boy, it's almost over. Of course, it's Pentecostal church and it's never over till it's over. Can you say? And so I was there. I had another note. And saying something to the effect that, you know, so-and-so likes you. Do you like her? And I'd answered the note and said, yes, I do. And I sent it back. And I was feeling real happy that night. Milkshake's coming. Got a girl who likes me. Oh, it's all good. And I'll never forget that night. I'm 12 years old. And service is almost over. I remember my pastor, he came, and my dad's pastor, and he began to dismiss the service. And some lady stood up and said, I believe that God wants us to sing one more song tonight, if it's okay with you, pastor. He said, all right, go right ahead. Three ladies came to the piano. One sat down and began to play, and they all three began to harmonize. Softly and tenderly. Remember, I got girls and milkshakes on my mind. And I'm only 12 years old. Softly and tenderly, Jesus is calling. Calling for you and for me. Over life's ramparts, he's waiting and watching. Watching for you and for me. Come home, come home, ye who are weary, come home. I'll tell you, when they hit that verse again, the Holy Ghost came on me. That preacher wasn't looking dead at me. Nobody was messing with me. Nobody was dragging. Yes, somebody was dragging me. But it wasn't no human being. Can you say, man? Holy Ghost came to me that night. Hallelujah. The Spirit of God fell on me that night. Praise God. We preachers are so good and so eloquent and so authorized, amen, to preach. And we do church so well that we forget there's one office no man can fill. Can you say amen? And that's the office of the Holy Ghost. When he comes, he, not me, not you, he will convince the world of sin and of unrighteousness and of judgment. Can you say amen? He will convict the world of sin. He's the one that reveals Jesus. No man comes to me except my Father. Do what? Draw him. You can't just walk an aisle and give mental assent. You've got to have an encounter with the living God, and the Holy Ghost is the mediator of that encounter. Somebody give God praise in this room. Hallelujah, hallelujah. If you're truly saved today, He saved you. He drew you. He revealed Jesus unto you. Flesh and blood cannot reveal Jesus. Only the Spirit of God can do it. Reveal Jesus to your mind, but that's not enough. That's not enough. Who do men say that I am? Simon Peter. Great theologian background he has. He's a fisherman. It's all he's ever known. He's an Orthodox Jew. He believes in God, but he's a fisherman by trade. Peter didn't miss a beat. Holy Ghost already working on him. Hallelujah. Listen to me. Peter didn't miss a beat. He said, some say you're Elijah. Some say you're someone else. Who do you say that I am? You know what he said? Well, I think, I surmise. No. Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. Jesus knew it had to be more than Peter that showed him that. Jesus turned to him and said, flesh and blood did not reveal that unto you, but my Father only. And upon this rock, and it wasn't Peter. The word he used for Peter was Petros. Petros, which means pebble. Everybody say pebble. Church is not built on a pebble. But the word he used for this rock that he would build his church on was Petra. And it means a granite mountain. Can you say, man, glory be to God. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord upon this granite mountain. Thou art Peter, you're a pebble, but on this mountain, what mountain? The revelation of Jesus Christ as the Son of the living God and the Savior of the world. I'll build my church. Hallelujah! And he's building his church today. And how strong is he building it? I wish someone asked. So strong that the gates of hell cannot prevail against it. Can you say amen? The true church is alive and well because the head of the church is alive and well. Can you say amen? Glory be to God. Well, I haven't even read this and it's time to quit. Let me read it quickly. And he said a certain man had two sons. It's going to reveal the father and what he's doing and going to continue to do and wants to do for us. And the younger of them said to his father, Father, give me the portion of goods that falleth to me. And he divided unto them his living. And not many days after, the younger son gathered all together, took his journey to a far country. This is the story of the prodigal son, of course. And there wasted his substance with riotous living. And when he had spent all, there arose a mighty famine in that land. And he began to be in want. See, God don't care what brings you back, as long as you come back. And he went and joined himself to a citizen of that country, and he sent him to his fields to feed swine. And he would fain have filled his belly with the husk that the swine did eat, and no man gave to him. And when he came to himself, look what it took to finally get his attention. He said, how many hired servants of my father's have bread enough to spare, and I perish with hunger? I will arise and go to my father, and will say unto him, Father, I've sinned against heaven and before thee, and no more worthy to be called thy son. Make me as one of thy hired servants. And he arose and came to his father. But when he was yet a great way off, his father saw him and had compassion on him, and ran. The father could have stood there and said, you left, you blew it, you turned your back on me, dishonored me. We're not just seeing an earthly daddy here. We're seeing a wonderful picture of our gracious, wonderful God. See, judgment is going to be so severe, because grace is so powerful, so prevalent. How shall we escape if we neglect such a great salvation as this? Can you say, man, God offers forgiveness full and free to anyone for anything this very day. This is the day of salvation. This is the accepted time. This is also the day, amen, to come home. If you're away from home this morning, amen. I'm not talking about away from church necessarily. That usually goes with it, but I'm going to tell you, you can be in church and not be close to God. Amen. And just become a churchy person instead of a real follower of Jesus Christ with the first love burning. And I want to tell you something. If you'll come home today, the Father's going to run to meet you. He's not going to make you come groveling. Amen. You're not worthy. You say, but I'm not worthy. There was a great king that was actually saved from death. He fell off his horse and would have languished and died. But a man came along, some of the poorest of his servants, but serfs in his castle. And he came along, true story, and he rescued him. He nursed him back to health, and he attributed his life to this serf, this lowest of the low in his kingdom. And so he brought him into the palace, and he brought a huge ruby worth, I don't know what in today's money, but he gave it to him. And that serf was overwhelmed. Even though he had done this deed, he was overwhelmed. And he said, it's too much for me to receive. I love my king. I want to do it anyway. It's too much for me to receive. And the king pushed it into his hand and said, but it's not too much for me to give. Sometimes grace seems too good to be true. It is too good, but it's still true. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. Did this son deserve the welcoming, loving arms of that father? No, he deserved to pay some dues, to pay a price for what he had done. But the father didn't hesitate. He wasn't tentative. He ran. When I preach to see backsliders come back to Jesus, I know what God is going to do if they just turn back in the right direction. They're not going to have to walk all the way home. Amen. God is going to meet them. God is going to run to meet them. God, oh, you didn't hear me today. Amen. I believe God is going to restore the backslider. I'm not just talking about people went back to the bar and the X-rated theater. I'm talking about people even sitting in church that their hearts are becoming cold and calloused, going through religious motions. God is calling his children close to his heart so that he can cover them with his wings and keep them in this last day. Protect them. Provide for them. Defend them. Hallelujah. And be a father to them. Praise God. Hallelujah. I want God to father me. I want his compassion. I want his chastisement. Amen. I want him to keep what I've committed to him against that day that is hastening. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. Glory to God. I want it all. You want God to chasten you? No, I want God to love me enough to not let me alone. You didn't hear me. I want God to love me enough to not let me alone. Can you say amen? Sholabakisanana. Netarabaroshalabakita. As many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Faint not when thou art chastened of him, for he chastens every son that he loves. Hallelujah. He accepts you and receives you just the way you are, but he loves you way too much to leave you that way. And if he sees you going the wrong way, some event is going to occur to bring you back. Don't faint. Don't think he's wanting to punish you. He's wanting to cover you with his pinions, hide you in his pavilion, spread his curd over thee. Ha. Shelabakosa. Nandarabasiliandarabasata. Father, I praise you. I praise you. He said, I'm not worthy. But when he was yet a great way off, his father saw him and had compassion and ran, fell on his neck, and kissed him. And the son said unto him, Father, I've sinned against heaven in thy sight. I'm no more worthy to be called thy son. But the father said to his servants, bring forth the best robe and put it on him. And put a ring on his hand and shoes on his feet. And bring hither the fatted calf and kill it and let us eat and be merry. For this my son that was dead is alive again. He that was lost is found. And they began to be merry. There's joy in the presence of angels over one sinner, because that one soul is so precious to God. Can you say amen? There's joy. All it takes is one sinner today that turns around, comes back home, or a sinner that's never knew him to come home. One to cause something to happen in heaven. There's joy in the presence of angels. God the Father and God the Son begin to rejoice. And all those that have preceded us into His presence begin to rejoice. And moms and dads begin to rejoice when their children get saved. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. Let me hurry. First thing happened was the restoration of fellowship. Verse 20, the father saw him, had compassion upon him, ran to him and kissed him. That kiss was the kiss of reconciliation. That's why Jesus came into this fallen world, to take our place at an old rugged cross, so that we might be forgiven, and so that the relationship with God, broken by our sin, could be restored. He came to reconcile us to God. Romans 8, 5, 6 through 10 said, "For when we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. For scarcely will a righteous man will one die. Yet peradventure for a good man some would even dare to die. But God commendeth his love to us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more then, being justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. For if when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his son, much more being reconciled, we shall be saved by his life." Can you say amen? Glory. God has restored that broken relationship so that we can have a relationship with the creator of the universe and call him Abba Father. Isn't that incredible? Hallelujah. I heard a pastor tell the story of a compassionate father in a large city in South America who ran an ad in the paper. Not wanting to embarrass his son, it simply read, "Paco." Paco's like John here, or George here. It's a common name, Tom here. "Paco, please come home." And the paper that he put it in went all over that whole area. "Please come home. All is forgiven. We'll meet you at the railway station Saturday." Saturday, there's one seeking father, but there's 100 Paco. When God says, "I'm going to restore, I'm going to send Elijah, he's going to bring a message of restoration." Amen. That if you'll repent and come back, I'll restore you. And when it happens, I'm going to restore whole families. The hearts of the fathers shall be turned to their children, and the hearts of the children will be turned back to their fathers. I'm claiming that in my home. I'm claiming that in my family. This is Father's Day, and I'm a daddy, and I'm a priest, and I'm an intercessor before I'm a pastor and preacher. Can you say amen? Glory to God. And I'm claiming my family for Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Amen. I'm claiming my children and my grandchildren for Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord, because I know what God is capable of. That word reconciled means acquitted, made righteous, and brought into right relationship with God. Hallelujah. To be reconciled to God means saved from wrath. Both the fact and fear of judgment are taken away. How precious is God's kiss of forgiveness before anything else. Praise God. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. The restoration of righteousness was next. Bring forth the best robe and put it upon him. Romans 3 verse 18 says Christ wanted to restore that lukewarm church. The one he said, "As many as I love, I rebuke and chasten." He said, "Seek of me white raiment that thou mayest be clothed, that the shame of thy nakedness do not appear." We trade our sin-stained and tattered garments for his royal, pure, righteous robe. See, God doesn't just forgive your sin and leave you what we love to say about it. "I'm just an old sinner saved by grace." He said, don't let sin reign in your body to keep obeying it. Don't let the devil ride with you, because if you let him ride, he'll want to drive. If you let him drive, he'll drive too far. Sin will take you where you didn't really want to go, keep you longer than you wanted to stay, and refuse to let you go when you decide to go back. But I don't care what sin refuses or Satan refuses. If you, in your heart, want to come home, amen, all hell can't stop you from coming home. Because once you start home, hell is going to try to tug you back, but the Father's going to run to kiss you. And the Father's going to run to restore you. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We got it right here. Praise God. We got it right here in black and white and red. Glory to the Lord. Philippians 3:9 says, and found in him, and being found in him, not having mine own righteousness, which of the law, but that is through faith, the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith. He doesn't just forgive your sin. He gives you Christ's innocence. It's called the great exchange. And being found in him, not having mine own righteousness, which is of the law, because I can't keep it. Nobody ever did. But the righteousness which is of God through Jesus Christ in the spiritual arena of battle is called the breastplate of righteousness. Can you say amen? It protects your heart. Wow. And then he restored not only righteousness and relationship, he restored authority. He put a ring on his hand. It wasn't just the jewel and the gold that represented. It represented in that day a family that could afford a ring like this had to be a family of some means. So This was passing down to this eldest son, probably, or a son, two of them, a family signet ring. It meant that when the father passed away, everything passed to the son. Wow. It meant that he could sign documents, put wax on it, seal it with the signet ring. It meant you are not some black sheep of the family because of the past. You are fully restored to sonship. You say, he don't deserve that. Well, of course he don't. He's showing us the mercy of God here. The graciousness of God. That it took to save you and save me. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. Oh, give God a hand clap. Amen. Oh, don't mess with grace. Every time you see it, rejoice. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. In those ancient times, the ring worn by the true son authorized him to act in his father's behalf. That kind of power or authority. A king or wealthy man would seal legal documents with the signet ring. The shameful son said in deep humility, I'm no more worthy to be called your son. The ring signified that full family privilege was restored. Isn't that incredible? Romans 8:14-17, before we hurry and close, said, for as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. For you have not received the spirit of bondage, again unto fear, whereby we have received, but you have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit itself bearing witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. And if children, then heirs. Heirs of God. And joint heirs with Christ, if so be that we suffer with him, that we may be also glorified together. Joint heirs with Jesus. If you want to give yourself a pity party, go ahead. If you're determined to do that. But you are not to be pitied. I am not to be pitied. Can you say amen? Why? Because I'm a joint heir with Christ. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. There's a Lord's Prayer that's really his prayer. And I want to stop and slow down as we're about to close. We're not servicing tonight. And we got things over there for dads if you're getting real hungry. Something to enjoy before you go home and celebrate his birthday. And I tasted his cake last night. And his butter pecan. I tasted a cake last night. Watch me back up. I've learned. I've been married almost 50 years. I can get out of this. I tasted a cake, I meant to say, last night. I've learned to get out of things. Amen, Brother Taylor. You got to be quick. You got to think quick. I tasted a cake last night. And it was butter pecan with buttercream icing. It was delicious without no icing. I made myself a cup of coffee and eat some of that cake. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. There's nothing over there. Nothing. You're just a dad like the rest of us coming to share dad things with us. Joint heirs with Jesus. We've been brought into God's royal family. We don't pray to our Creator in heaven, or even our Savior in heaven, even though He is both, or our Deliverer in heaven, or our God in heaven, even though He's all of that. We pray to our Father. Intimacy, reconciliation, restoration, family privilege, family authority. Can you say amen? And who's it all coming back to? The one that didn't know what he had, didn't appreciate it, went out and spent his inheritance on riotous living. I'm going to tell you something. When the money's gone and the fun is over and the party stops, amen, it's time to think about the one that really loves you, what's really important in your life. And then he said, put shoes on his feet. He even got shoes no more. And that's the restoration of lost inheritance. Say it with me. It's that restoration process. In ancient times, only slaves and beggars went barefoot. Shoes signified full family privilege. The inheritance that was lost is now regained and recovered. Revelation 21:7 said that he that overcometh shall inherit all things. And I will be his God, and he will be my son. God said, I'm not just going to call you an old sinner saved by grace, or an old prodigal son, and it'll never be the same between us. He said, I'm going to be your God, and you're going to be my son, my daughter. Can you say, man, that's the great call to sanctification and separation. Come out from among them, saith the Lord. Touch not the unclean thing. Amen. Hallelujah. And I will receive you, and I will be a father to you, and you shall be my sons and my daughters, saith the Lord. As it is written, I will live in them and I will walk in them. Can you say, man, having these promises, my dearly beloved, hallelujah. Having this kind of a promise, God wants to father you, defend you, protect you, provide for you, give you an inheritance among them that are sanctified. Woo! He wants to be Jehovah Jireh to you, the Lord that provides for you. He wants to be Jehovah Shammah, the Lord that protects you, the Lord that heals you, the Lord that delivers you. El Shaddai, the many-breasted one, instead of El Cheapo. I'm not just talking about the gold in your pocket. I'm talking about a God who is supplying your need. Don't need gold in your pocket when you got a meal barrel that don't go empty. Say it, Alice. Give him more praise. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Woo! Glory to God. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. What a God that we serve today. Glory to the Lord. Glory to the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. 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 Many years ago, as we close, I suppose we're going to close. It's hard. Ken Burns was doing research that led to a PBS documentary called The Civil War. Professor sent him a little long letter as he collected for this presentation by a Rhode Island soldier to his wife, Sarah. The letter was written in July 1861. The author, Sullivan Ballou, had a premonition of his own death, and in response to that feeling, he wrote to his wife this way. The indications are, and I quote, are very strong that we shall move in a few days, perhaps tomorrow. Lest I should not be able to write to you again, I feel impelled to write a few lines that may fall under your eyes when I shall be no more. Sarah, my love, for you is deathless. Seems to bind me with mighty cables that nothing but omnipotence could break. The memories of the blissful moments that I've spent with you come creeping over me. I feel most gratified to God and to you that I've enjoyed them for so long. It's hard for me to give them up and to burn to ashes the hopes of future years, when God willing, we might still have lived and loved together and seen our sons grown up to honorable manhood around us. If I do not return, my dear Sarah, never forget how much I love you. And know that when my last breath escapes me on the battlefield, it will whisper your name. Sullivan Ballou was killed 7 days later, after this letter was written, at the first battle of Bull Run. When my last breath escapes, it will whisper your name. It's not unduly sentimental to say of one who could declare, as the Father loved me, so I've loved you, to imagine in our hearts and souls that as Jesus breathed his last breath, only God could do this. In one breath, he whispered your name. Because there's no love in all of humankind like the love of God that's in Jesus Christ. Can you say amen? To have a father like this, who wouldn't want to come home to the Father's house and come back to the Father's heart so that God can defend us and God can deliver us and God can father us, having these promises. Hallelujah. Let us get rid of all those sins of the flesh that hold us back from that fellowship and that covering. Can you say amen? Having these promises, I'll be a father to you. Amen. You'll be my sons. I want my whole life to be something that God can cover with his presence, his person, and his power. Praise the Lord. Don't you love him today? Is he worthy today of the praise that we're giving him? Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. I got up this morning and I was convinced beyond a shadow of a doubt that God was going to take care of me. You say, Brother Venable, what if you had had a wreck on the interstate and Pamela survived and you were taken? I told you I was convinced that God would take care of me. If that happened on the interstate, know this. Know that it was time. I finished my course. I fought a good fight. I didn't tell you I never got knocked down. I tell you I always got up, and that is Christian victory. Can you say, man, there ain't a Christian in the world ain't been knocked down. But when they get up, the fight's still on. Hallelujah. So, honey, as far as I'm concerned, the fight is still on. And we're going to win. Praise God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Yeah, the devil would love to count you out right now. But if you get up, the fight's still on. I got a cut man in my corner. He's good at closing wounds. I got a lot of scar tissue. You ever see them guys in MMA, mixed martial arts? Handsome guys, but their ears give them away. Them big old cauliflower ears. Oh, the cartilage is broken down from being whooped on with a fist and without a glove on it. Amen. But I'm going to tell you something. Amen. I got somebody in my corner. Praise the Lord. And when I woke up this morning, I wasn't afraid of accidents and happenstance. Praise God. Hallelujah. I want the epitaph of Paul. I want it so bad. I fought a good fight. I've kept the faith. I've finished my course. Everybody say a race course. Hallelujah. I finished my course. That God sent me to do, it got done. Can you say, man, I was not disobedient to the heavenly vision. Glory to God. Oh, yes. Hallelujah. Amen. I'm ready to be offered up. Praise God. And surely there's a crown laid up for me. And not me only, but all them that love His appearing. Praise God. Would you bow your head just for a holy moment? You're here today, and God is calling you closer to Himself. I don't know but what we all may answer this call. I don't know that there's anybody in here that doesn't need to come closer to God, to not be so easily distracted by our disappointments, our discouragements, and the things around us, by the hurts, by the things people have said about us, done to us, that breaks our focus. I believe we all need to come closer to the Father. Come out from among them. Be ye separate, saith the Lord. Don't touch the unclean thing. For what fellowship hath light with darkness? Christ with the devil, Belial. Hallelujah. I stand ready to run to all those that will turn to me. I stand ready to restore all that the enemy has taken and stolen. I stand ready to exalt my name in all of the earth. I stand ready to confirm my Son with many signs and wonders. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Brother, I want this instead. God just spoke that. Let's do it. Will you stand to your feet today? All over this building. I'm not even going to ask for hands. This is more about hearts than hands today. You can lift your hand, but if your heart isn't open for this, it's not going to help. But if your heart's open, God has begun a work, a new work in somebody in this room, a lot of folks in this room right now. Praise God. Hallelujah. May Shalabadi, His word will not return to Him void. Hallelujah. It will accomplish what He sent it to do in the hearts that receive it. Praise God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Let's just give Him praise today. I want us to sing this song in closing on Father's Day. I'm so glad that I've got a Father.